This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Janet Yellen's last day running the American economy, as Lee and Anna and I were talking about, is Saturday. Jerome Powell, Jay, as he is sometimes called, will be ceremonially sworn in as the new chairman of the Federal Reserve on Monday. But how, you might rightly ask, did we get here? A guy who's not an economist, frankly something of a dark horse, becoming the most powerful economic policymaker in the world. It's a pretty good story, actually, told in a Twitter thread I saw a month, maybe 2 months ago, by Josh Zumbrun. He's a national economics correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. We called him up, we sat him down in front of a microphone, we did a little light editing, and here we go with a tweet thread, tweet number one.
In 2007, President George W. Bush has the opportunity to nominate three vacancies on the Federal Reserve all at once. He picks Betsy Duke, a Virginia community banker, Larry Klain, an executive at Capital One Bank, and a guy named Randall Krosner, who was already on the Federal Reserve's board, but his term was expiring, and so he reappointed him to serve again.
Tweet two.
But as it gets closer to the 2008 election, Bush and the Republican Party are becoming very unpopular due to how badly the economy is doing. We're heading into the Great Recession. And so Senate Banking Chairman Chris Dodd decides to block the nominations of Krosner and Klain.
Tweet three.
It was always pretty clear that this was just a political maneuver to keep the appointments open for what could be a Democratic president.
Tweet number four.
Barack Obama wins the election.
Yes, we can.
And early in his first term, thanks to those vacancies on the Fed, he has the opportunity to appoint three Fed governors all at once.
Tweet five.
He picks Janet Yellen, who at the time is the president of the San Francisco Fed, along with Peter Diamond, a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Sarah Bloom Raskin, who is the top banking regulator in the state of Maryland.
Tweet six.
Yellen and Raskin get through the committee and are approved to the Fed board in May of that year. But Peter Diamond languishes. There's no real reason for this block, other than that Richard Shelby, the Alabama Republican who's the ranking member on the banking committee, wants to get back at Chris Dodd for blocking those nominations 2 years earlier.
Tweet seven.
In October of 2010, while Diamond's still awaiting to be confirmed, he actually wins the Nobel Prize in Economics. Shelby, in a statement, said that while the Nobel Prize for Economics is a significant recognition, the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences did not determine who was qualified to serve on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. I think Royal, Swedish, Academy, and Sciences are all epithets in this quote.
Tweet number eight.
What better qualification could an economist have than a Nobel Prize? But Shelby doesn't budge, and in June 2011, Diamond withdraws.
Tweet number nine.
So the White House has to go back to the drawing board, and that's where they find this guy, Jay Powell. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner finds out about a meeting that Powell has had with House Republicans in July of 2011 over the standoff over the debt ceiling. He warned Republican lawmakers about the harm that would fall on retirees, veterans, and other Americans if Congress didn't authorize an increase in government borrowing.
Tweet number 10.
So basically, they pick Powell because he's a Republican, but he'll speak up before wrecking the country. And because his term as a Fed governor would only run through January of 2014, they see it as a limited commitment.
Tweet 11.
The Senate is still feuding over nominations, and they go nowhere for months.
12.
Jerome Powell's Fed career would have ended before it even started, if not for one Bruno Ixel, a.k.a. the London Whale.
13.
He was based in London. He was making trades in an obscure market. But it raised a big issue in Washington. What's going on with regulation at these banks? Why is something like this happening so close to the financial crisis?
Tweet number 14.
Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader, is incensed about qualified Fed nominees who are dying on the vine. And so he uses the uproar over the London Whale to help break the logjam and get them confirmed.
15.
So by early 2014, the Fed was desperately short-staffed again.
Tweet 16.
Meanwhile, Powell has quietly slogged away on stuff like payment processing, these boring issues that the Fed works on that the economics PhDs generally think they're too good for. He earned a lot of respect from colleagues for tackling these unheralded operational tasks.
Tweet 17.
And Republicans had already voted Powell through once. So by default, the White House decides to nominate him once again as part of a bipartisan package of Fed nominees.
Tweet number 18.
Fast forward to 2017. Donald Trump has taken office, and Janet Yellen still has 1 year remaining on her term as chair of the Federal Reserve. But Trump can appoint the new bank supervision chief immediately. And he picks a Utah banker and attorney named Randall Quarles.
Remember that name, Randall Quarles.
And as it turns out, that's going to make Trump's Fed chair pick a little more difficult.
19.
One of the really obvious candidates for Fed chair was Kevin Warsh, who'd been at the Fed from 2006 to 2011 during the financial crisis. But it turns out that Randall Quarles, the new bank supervision chief,
remember him?
Had a long-running feud with Kevin Warsh that dated back to a decade when the two both worked for the Bush White House. Owing in part to this feud, Warsh ends up out of contention.
Tweet 20.
The other top contender for the job was an economist named John Taylor, who was famous in academic circles for having created a rule that said how monetary policy should be set.
Tweet 21.
But the problem with this rule was that if you use the numbers that we had for the economy in 2017, the rule said the interest rate ought to be about 3%, and the Fed had rates just at around 1%. And Donald Trump was someone who had said over and over that he sees himself as a low interest rate guy. So Taylor's out.
Tweet 22.
And that leaves our friend Jerome Powell.
Congratulations, Jay.
I'm reminded of some advice that Mr. Powell once gave to a business school student who sought him out for some mentorship. He told him, keep your head down and work hard. You'd be surprised how many otherwise competent people self-sabotage. This advice seemed to work for Powell.
I'm both honored and humbled.
He kept his head down, and everyone else, who might be a candidate for the job,
by this opportunity to serve,
ended up being disqualified for some reason or another.
Our great country.
And Powell was the last one standing.
And the end. That was Josh Zumbra, national economics correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. You can follow him on Twitter, at Josh Zumbra. I am at Kai Rizdahl. This program is at Marketplace. We've got a link to that whole Twitter thread of his at our website. It is marketplace.org.